What's up, Waves? Today's episode is brought to you by State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, cool products. For every State Bag purchase, State Bags hand delivers a backpack packed with essentials for American children in need. State Bags is offering our listeners 15% off using the code POD at statebags.com. That is P-O-D, POD, for 15% off your next purchase at State Bags. State Bags, they've got your back.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weave Guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be looking into the latest and the greatest of all things anime and manga on the show once again, but I'm super excited because, and here's the thing, guys, Weaves out there, I didn't think I would have a pair of guests once again on the show. I was super scared when I did it with the boys from Severe Music a few weeks ago, and now I guess I just wanted to jump into the ocean again and get two more guests on at the same episode, just heightening my anxiety levels just to another notch. But guys, this episode is gonna be awesome because I can already tell I'm gonna have so much fun with these people, and I'll let them introduce themselves in a minute. But this is Weave Guys, and I'm your host Chris, aka C-Dub, aka Mori, aka the Independent Variable, aka Mr. Still going on with the November challenge. And no, not that November challenge, but my water only challenge. Try to do this the last 2 months of every year where I just drink strictly water, Weaves, and then so far it's going pretty well. I'm staring at my cup of water right now, and God, it's so hard not drinking soda, but I'm gonna get there. We're only 10 days into November. I'm already going through some withdrawals, but enough about me, and we're gonna let's go into some more anime because today I have Courtney and Carl on the show. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves and tell yourselves about yourselves?
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here. As you mentioned, my name's Courtney.
And I am Carl.
And we have a podcast network called the Strictly Series, which is comprised of two podcasts as of now, Strictly Anime and Strictly JoJo.
Love me some JoJo. Ooh. that was the big, when I saw that, I was like, okay, obviously I love anime and all that stuff, but so JoJo, and not to sound like a normie, because it's gotten to that point. Is that okay to say? Like, is it a normal thing for anime people to like JoJo now? It's gotten to that level, right?
I think
I'm not
so.
Mistaken.
I mean, it's hard to avoid it in the anime community, and mm-hmm. It's hard to avoid the memes, the infinite number of memes that come out of that amazing show.
God dang.
Yeah, it's like the memes force you to watch this show just so you know what's going on. But yeah, when I first saw them, I was like, what is this? I don't know if I will ever be interested in this. And then I just got hooked. It's weird.
And I don't want to stray too off because I love JoJo. I'm sure everyone's listening loves JoJo as well. But how hyped are you guys for the next installment? Which I guess is sometime... I mean, because it was pushed back from, I think we were supposed to get it sometime this year, but for Stone Ocean, I guess we're getting it next year, somewhere up in the air. But how hyped are you guys with some Stone Ocean?
I am so hyped. I think, so I've been looking into this, because I think this is, it's like not super clear what it's going to be, but I think this JoJo event that they announced for next year is like, they're bringing all of the voice actors that played each of like the JoStar lineage characters. And then that's all they said. Like, that's all they told us. And so many people are like, fingers crossed, please let them end the thing with announcing part 6. Like, we need part 6. It's been so long since part 5 came out.
Yes. God damn. And the thing is, I've been rewatching Golden Wind. I feel like every other, 2 weeks or something at this point. It's not going to get old, but, it's sometime next year I may be running into some other withdrawals. Like, please, I don't want Jolene. Oh, yeah. I want Jolene so bad.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why, so Strictly JoJo, we've just started to record it, and we're premiering it at the end of this month. And we figured this would be the perfect time for it because, I mean, the podcast is dedicated to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and we're going to review every single episode. And there's a lot of them. So we're hoping by the time we really kind of get into some of the later parts, fingers crossed, part 6 will come out. We can talk about that live as it's happening. That's our dream. Like, if we could talk about part 6 live every week as it's premiering, that would be amazing.
I've always wanted to do something of that nature with just on one show. and just go through it week by week. After watching it with some people, you know, through Rave or wherever, however the case may be. I'm not sure how to work that out. And just kind of talk about it week by week. And just to let you know, you already have one person going to be ready to listen to that. You know, just name any names, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. But on for this topic, which I'm sure we could do a whole topic on JoJo, obviously, but Weebs, today, 2021 is approaching. As much as it doesn't really feel like it, these last 2 months are probably going to be another dredge through mud, like the like most of what 2020 has been so far. But like 2020, it's been full of surprises, pushing back a lot of series from the spring to the summer, and from summer to fall, and some summer and some fall ones to be for next year. And 2021 is shaping up to be quite a blockbuster for all things anime and films, TV series, OVAs, and all that nature. And I want to go through some of the ones that excite me the most. And I'm really interested in hearing some of the shows that you guys are really, really hyped for next year. And we only have a decently sized slate so far, maybe maybe to 25 to 30 thing, some titles of anime films, OVAs, and TV series, all that much. And I got a few in front of me, but do you want to go? You want to have the honors and go first? Is that okay? I want you. I think you guys deserve that.
Yeah,
that much.
Definitely. I'm going to hand off to Carl to talk about one of his first.
Yes. So for me, I think I'm more of like a casual when it comes to anime compared to Courtney. So I feel like most of the anime that I'm looking forward to in 2021 are just like your typical, I don't want to say mainstream anime. But one for sure, and I don't know if this counts as a 2021 anime, but yeah. I know there's like a lot of hype around is the final season of Attack on Titan.
Yes, I knew it was coming up, and you know, it's, I'm glad you brought it up to start off. Thank God.
Because yeah, like besides, like I know, like it's the conclusion to the story, and I don't even know if the finished or if it's still ongoing.
Yeah, not quite. I just saw today that Isayama has, I think he said he had about 1%, 1 to 2% left of the story left. Wow. So I don't know what that means chapter wise, or how many months left we have of the manga. But that's what he said recently.
Yeah, well, I just hope it doesn't fall into like Game of Thrones territory where like the show just makes up a random conclusion.
Yeah, I agree. I hope like the manga ends just before the anime ends, so like the whole Attack on Titan community like at one time just like knows how the story finishes. And I think that would be really, really cool.
That's how it should play out. And has that ever happened before, to be honest? Like, I can't think of another series that's ever mapped out its ending like that, honest. If it goes
not
out
that
like
I'm aware
that.
Of it's always like the manga, I mean, they get the ending, understandably so, but they get the ending like light years ahead of the anime community, and then we have to try and avoid all of their spoilers all over everything.
I was gonna say I tout this a lot on my social media, especially on Twitter. I'm a big manga head. It's just palatable to me. I can focus a little bit more when I'm reading. I mean, it really takes a lot of energy for me to sit down and watch anime, but I've been trying to get better. But I wanted to get, especially Carr, what you think about, because I know there was when this anime was finally announced, I know there was some hoopla about them changing animation studios from, as I'm already going blank on who did it the first few seasons, but I know it changed the MAPPA.
Yeah, I think it was Wit Studio
was it?
Was first. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you. And I think I talked about it on the episode when that news came out, and I thought this should be the move for series. I thought it was I think other series should take note of this, because not only is MAPPA has a really good track record, especially recently with God of High School. Even though, you know, we don't have to talk about the plot, but the animation scenes and the fighting scenes in God of High School was incredible. I know there's another anime, there's a few other animes, but there was another really big one that MAPPA's doing this season. And I feel like this is a win for Attack on Titan having MAPPA on board for and doing and producing this show. for this final season.
Yeah, I think people, so me included to a certain degree, I think people get nervous. Like, when you make a big change like that, what level of continuity can you expect for the anime? Like, are we going to suddenly see a huge shift in the way the story is presented? Or, I mean, it's one thing for the visuals to be a bit different. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that doesn't really change much for the show. But, you know, are we actually going to see, like, major changes to the way the story unfolds? And will they be able to present the story in as good of a way as, like, the previous studio? Because it makes me think back to, I don't know if you ever watched What a Guy Do, which is a My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu.
Yeah, exactly.
So they changed studios from season 1 to 2, and that was like a major visual change. I mean, the second studio, it looked gorgeous when they took it on. But really, the story was presented in kind of the same way. But with this last season, I won't spoil anything, but with this last season, which people have been waiting 7-8 years for, this newest studio kind of took it in a direction that, like, really frustrated a lot of the anime only fans, and to a certain extent a lot of the manga fans too. So I think that's like the concern people have when we have a big change like that. But I trust them. Like, I think they're gonna do a great job with Attack on Titan.
I was gonna say, I don't see any fault in the change, and that in Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm sorry if I can speak right, that's the one I was trying to think of, the current anime that people are jumping up about, which real quick question, are you guys watching that? Or
so we will start watching it, because we're going to plan to talk about it probably at the end of December. But I get really impatient, and I like to binge watch instead of watch weekly, because I'm like, I have to know what happens next. So we're going to start it probably in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, thank God. All right, then. Awesome. Because I was going to... Just to say real quick, I think that it's going to be that in Chainsaw Man, more so Chainsaw Man, I think are the two best things in Weekly Shonen Jump right now. I think it's the strongest two titles in Weekly Shonen Jump right now. And I'm just so happy that MAPPA is taking care of this. And it's just incredible. I love seeing... I can watch GIFs. I can watch videos, clips of that show over and over again on repeat. But back on Attack on Titan. Because I know that is what? That's December, right? That's coming in December and then moving into 2021, right? So that's like what, the beginning of the summer now. I think it's like the first or second week.
Yeah,
I think we're getting that final season.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's December 7th, so just around the corner.
God damn, less than a month.
Yeah.
God, it's baffling. It's baffling. Oh my God, year moves fast, or at least it feels like it's moving fast at some point, and then it's like moving in mud at others. But I do kind of want to share one of mine, because I feel like it kind of goes into with Attack on Titan, and we're kind of reaching a ending here, and that's Gintama. I'm really excited for the movie and the subsequent anime TV series I think we're going to get. I'm not sure. I couldn't find all the details on it, other than that we're getting the Gintama final, or the final movie to adapt the manga's final arc. Or at least the second and third parts of the manga. It's being done by Bandai Namco Pictures. And they've done the 2015 anime, they've done the Gintama Portoroi Hen, the Shirogane no Tamashi Hen. I think they're even doing Tiger and Bunny, the second season, which, side of, when I found that out a few days ago, and I was like, Tiger Bunny's coming back? I feel like I was one of the only ones who watched that. But yeah, I love Gintama so much. I was kind of a latecomer onto Gintama. I thought it was a little overhyped, I will say. And before I get put up on the stake and burn, I read it a few years ago when it finally ended. I think the manga ended last summer or something like that, I believe. I will say it's probably in my top three of like comedy, action kind of gag manga. I will say that, and I was wrong. It's not overhyped. It's one of the masterpieces for me in just comedy and just story setting and world building and all that stuff. So I cannot wait. I don't know what to expect, because I heard that they will change some things in the source material to make it more unique for this movie. So I'm interested in what they're going to change. Are you guys big fans of Gintama, or just maybe sort of casual fans with
so Gintama? I have had Gintama on my watch list, I think, for like years and years and years, and I have not yet picked it up, and you have just convinced me to pick it up. Like, I've seen some of the clips. Like, I saw the other day on Reddit a clip from Gintama where they're like flinging poo at each other, like in a sword fight.
Oh, yes.
So I'm like, how have I not, if I love JoJo, how have I not picked up this show yet? So yeah, you just convinced me to like finally commit and like watch Gintama, because that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm.
It's, I honestly think it's one of my favorite comedy series. I've said it on the show tons of times, and people are probably tired of hearing me saying it, but sports series, comedy series, same thing with swords or blades. I would have a little bit more interest in, and this did it all for me. This hit so many different areas for me. And just with the main character being dynamic, with the story, with these arcs, they'll have a funny one, then the next one will be ultra serious, and it just kind of hits you out of nowhere. And then you have another one that'll make you cry, and then they'll go back to something hilarious again. And it's in the Edo period, their own weird alien invasion type Edo period of Japan, and it's balls, it's off the wall, it's ridiculous. And I honestly just cannot wait, and I hope you guys get a chance to watch it, because it's freaking amazing. That's all I can say.
I was gonna say as an aside, I recently finished Ghost of Tsushima on the PS4, so I'm kind of on this like samurai high, so you've convinced me as well. Like, this sounds right up my alley. Like, this Gintama sounds like all in one package when it comes to like your comedy, your drama, all that good stuff.
That's interesting, because I was just playing, I've been having some more time, so I was like, I hopped on the PS4, I got Nioh 2. I was like, you know what, because I knew the DLC, there were some DLCs for it. I was like, you know what, let me play through the game. I'm about almost finished. God, that game's so good. Is Ghost of Tsushima pretty good too? I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
No, it's terrific. I think it's, I think in any other year, if it wasn't for Last of Us Part 2, this would be a serious game of the year contender, because I just had so much fun. And I forgot what period it is, but when it takes place during the Mongol invasion of Japan, which I guess isn't touched upon a lot in games. It's a lot of fun, and I haven't enjoyed a game this much for, I want to say, like a year or so.
Oof. That's some high praise right there. But Courtney, I want to get to your pick on one of the series that you've been really looking forward to for 2020.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with like my biggest title on this list. Well, I guess next, Attack on Titan. My Hero Academia Season 5. Like, I think that's coming out in April.
Yes.
And I cannot wait. Like, I can't believe we're kind of all, yes, like halfway there. I'm glad that time's flying by, but these last couple of months leading up to April, it's going to feel like forever.
It really will be. It really will. My Hero Academia, it was trending on Twitter, which was crazy. I won't get into spoiler territory for people who are listening, but I'll just say the name Dobby. I think Dobby was trending more per tweet than the election.
Oh, wow.
Those people are outside. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It left me speechless when I was looking at it, at the Twitter trends and then the Google trends, both on both platforms. Just Dobby was trending more than the general election, which is ridiculous. But I'm glad you brought up My Hero Academia, because, and I've talked about it on the show numerous times, not always in the greatest light, only because, and I want to explain, I've always been more of the Kimetsu no Yaiba, Demon Slayer kind of guy over My Hero Academia. I always thought that had more staying power. I thought that had more dynamic characters. I thought it pierced the veil of the American audience a little bit more and had the capacity to do more than My Hero Academia. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that, so Demon Slayer is phenomenal, and we were latecomers to that show. We watched it probably like 3 months after the first season wrapped up, and like within the first episode I was like, I get it, I get the hype behind this, like this is phenomenal. And it is action-packed every single episode, every single moment. My Hero Academia, I mean, to be fair, so as a side note, we only watch anime. Like we don't read manga, we don't read light novels, we don't read webtoons, so we only really know what's going on in the anime. But when it comes to My Hero, like it is, you know, several seasons in compared to where Demon Slayer is at, but it does have kind of its highs and lows. Like Demon Slayer was a high the whole time, and My Hero can be like a high and a low in the same season. Like season 4 to me, the first half was great, the second half was fun but really not super exciting. Like the whole Bunkasai arc, I'm like, okay, I could take it or leave it, really.
All right, I'm glad you brought that, because I kind of felt the same way with My Hero Academia, especially the last season. I've always been a supporter of, I like Endeavor, right? I like him, and I guess that's weird to say because, you know, he's an asshole, right? He was an abuser, both physically and emotionally, for most of what we knew him. And I wasn't really a big fan of them trying to give them a pseudo redemption arc kind of thing, and because it doesn't erase any of his actions just because, you know, he's the number one hero, and we can just say, you know what, I guess, you know, we'll just have Shoto overlook all that crap and all that stuff, you know, right?
No, I agree. I think so. But that, for me, Endeavor's arc, like he's been pretty flat up until these last few episodes of season 4, where it's like this is a pivotal moment for his character, and he's starting to realize the consequences of how he raised his children and how he behaved as a husband. So I'm super excited with this fifth season. I hope it dives into it to see more of Endeavor. Like I'm interested, I'm invested in him. Like I want to see how they're going to overcome this, or how he's going to overcome it, because that's going to be a great story to follow.
Yeah, what I was just going to say is, like, kind of going along with that is, you know, now that I'm in the world of My Hero, we're living in an era post All Might, like what Endeavor's going to do. Like he knows that he has this new responsibility as a number one hero, how he's going to act upon that. And the way I kind of look at it is like, Endeavor is the Batman to All Might's Superman. Because like, yeah, they're great in their own rights, but like, we love each different hero for their different characteristics. But yeah, I'm excited to see how he's going to step up to the plate and fill that number one spot.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I love, and I think that's probably part of the reason why I'm a little hard on the series as a general, is because I'm into comics, Marvel comics, DC comics, Dark Horse comics, third party thing, but Batman and the Superman dynamic, that was totally them. That's on point, to be honest, Carl. And so I wanted to play just a little game with this one. Who would, I mean, if in Denver is, he's going to be missing his Superman, what out of the pro heroes, or maybe the current new generation of heroes coming out of UA, will kind of fill that role as the Superman? Because I've talked with friends, and we kind of speculated who's going to be the 1, 2, 3 top heroes moving forward. I just wanted to get you guys some speculation, just a little bit of fun, if you wanted to name any heroes I thought would kind of fill some of the gaps that All Might and Endeavor eventually, when he's, you know, not so much of an asshole, maybe just chilling at home, burning his, you know, warming up his coffee and his
Robbie,
his hand
for sure.
On
yeah, okay. On my end, I think, like, I don't think, okay, so to the dynamic of Batman and Superman, I don't think Hawks is the Superman necessarily, but I do think he is that counterpart to, he's really laid back, he's in it for the, like, for the money and for the fame, like, he just is doing his thing, and that's completely different than Endeavor and his, like, hard-ass style. I mean, his mustache is made of fire. Like, that's the kind of guy that Endeavor is. Like, he takes things way too seriously. So I think I think if they're setting it up for Hawks to be one of the top, I don't know her name, but the bunny chick, I think, is probably going to be a contender for the top three. I'm interested to find out more about her.
Same. Yeah. Same year. I'm glad you brought up Hawks though as well, because I wanted to akin him to make something of like a young Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and they would always in comics. There were so many people who wrote Spider-Man, but some of my favorite authors who used Spider-Man usually would pair him up with a hero similar to Endeavor, because Spider-Man worked best with a straight man, like someone who didn't want to take any of his quips, his goofing off, and I'm really talking like high school Spider-Man kind of move in between college kind of Spider-Man and all that stuff. So I do like that dynamic of Hawks just being a nice confidant to Endeavor, close enough to share secrets, work together, and all that stuff. And I think they play off really well, to be honest. But Froppy though, Carl. I think you were going somewhere. Like, I think she's kind of like, I'm trying to think of maybe like a Spider-Gwen in a way where she could be funny in her own way. I think she's so straightforward, speaks her mind. I think she could be a major player. Like, why not? Why not make her a top 10 hero?
Or I guess under Frog. Like, I'm sure she'll take that spot easily.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm really interested in how this is going to drop. Because it feels like, I'm not going to get into things spoiler-wise, but the manga does feel like it's reaching its... about to hit its climax, and we're going to be getting the falling action and sometime next year. I've been kind of theorizing. I think it's going to end next summer or next fall. It just feels so close. It just feels really close. So I'm interested in what they're going to do with these UA kids. Are we going to get, you know, a classic time skip? You know, get to see them all grown up, see our precious babies fighting crime and all that good stuff. Deku maybe buff as hell or something like that. I don't know. You know, Bakugo still an asshole.
It's funny because I think we talked about this before. Most of the first four seasons, it's all taking place in their first year.
Yeah, like
school,
not
right?
Even their first year, the first half of their first year. It's so crazy.
It's like the first half.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see more of it. It's interesting that you mentioned that where the manga's at. It seems like it's hitting a pretty major turning point, because I'm like, at least in the anime, I'm like, they're barely even changing into their winter outfits. Like, I saw the promo material for season 5. I'm like, okay, Bakugo's wearing long sleeves. Like, clearly it's gonna get cold out or something, but we're finally here.
Chef's kiss, by the way, on that.
I love it too. I love his design. Like, if he could wear the long sleeves all year round, like that is a slick costume. And I'm all the way, like, he's my favorite character. So I'm like, that is a really awesome hero costume for him. I'm sold.
I'm so ready for it. It's, even though I'm not the biggest My Hero Academia, I'm gonna watch it. I can't help but watch it, because I think this season has, I'm looking forward to some of the events and seeing how some of my favorite manga events are gonna be played out in this season. Especially the, because this is the season with the, they're gonna be going up against the second class, was it class 2A again? So we get to see class 2A again. With them, hopefully a little more improved, a little more, you know, give class 1A a little run for their money now, in this fifth season. But I have another one that I'm really excited for. I don't know if it's not controversial, it's not the right word, right? But it feels like everyone I talk to, they want to shy away from this show. You either like it or they feel uncomfortable with it, and that's Beastars season 2, right in January 5th. I think it's premiering on Fuji TV in January 5th, and I guess the Netflix hopefully will be that same month, I hope, and it should be, hopefully, but I'm enthralled with Beastars. It's honestly one of my favorite pieces of work in the last 4 or 5 years, to be honest. Like, I'm in love with it. I love seeing animals put in awkward and tense and dangerous social political situations, but you know, is it worth it all being called a furry on Twitter if I love Beastars too much? Like, I mean, have you guys seen any of Beastars? Because I know that's another Netflix. I think it's the only way to watch it on legally. I think it's on Netflix. I believe. I don't know if it's on Crunchyroll or not, but I think it's just on Netflix. Has the rights to it
outside of Japan. I personally haven't seen it, but I know a lot of our friends have mentioned it, and they also kind of consider it like a guilty pleasure. But no, I think it's definitely a good thing to look into personally. And I didn't even realize like they're already coming out with a season two, but
yeah, this news kind of came out of nowhere as well. After that first season was, I think it was October of 2019. I think people would just assume that what happened in 2020, you probably wouldn't be seeing it for quite some time. And then I guess October? I think it was around the first or second week of October, and they just came out of nowhere like, oh yeah, Beastars, January 2021, be ready for it. And I said, all right. Guess I gotta go watch this in the cave or something, so people don't know that I'm watching the second season of Beastars.
No, I've heard really, really good things about it. It's another one that I'm like, I'm also on the fence, like I really wanna watch it. But I feel like I need to be a furry on some level to like it, but that's clearly not the case. And like, no offense to the furry community, like, no, that's all fine and yeah, all. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I think I'm judging it too hard by its cover. I think I really need to just like dive into the show and like experience it.
I think that is the hardest part. Because I feel like, you know, even I'm sure you guys have had this situation happen where you want to suggest an anime to maybe someone who hasn't seen a lot of anime or hasn't seen any at all, and you're trying to think of that just that perfect gateway show for them to kind of slide into and then explore for themselves. Beastars isn't really that show, but unless you wanted to scar them for a little bit and have them curse you out or something, because it's weird. I'll say that myself, it's weird to see animals talk, engage, and just kind of deal with the idea of sexuality and interspecies love, because it hits all kind of notes of, like we said, of the furry community, which, you know, hey, we're not, and all three of us here, you know, I don't want to speak for you guys, but, you know, I have no problem with the furries. I love the furries, because, you know, especially if you're watching, tell me, you know, let me know on Twitter how much you like Beastars. But Legacy, the main characters, Legacy and Haru, for people who don't know Beastars, it's just, look, it's about interspecies love, pretty much. Kind of wrapped in mystery, murder, just weird hybrid animals. It's kind of like LA Noir, but with animals. But if you just throw sex into it a little bit, that's the vibe I kind of get with these stars, to be honest. But not, I don't know, but season two, and also another thing about the season two is which I think they're pacing. Because when the trailer came out just a few days ago, I think it was on YouTube, the Netflix trailer, they were getting that to a point where in the manga where I thought, well, hey, that's barely 80, 90 chapters, and there's almost 200 chapters of this thing. Are they planning 4 or 5 seasons of this kind of Beastars? I don't know. Was there any show like that for you where some of the pacing kind of felt a little off, or you were kind of speculating like how this is going to be kind of sectioned off for anime? Or I guess because you said you guys are mainly anime watchers, so is there any anime that felt similar to you where you're just kind of questioning the pacing?
One show that comes to mind for me, and I wouldn't even call it a guilty pleasure, like I kind of wish I unsaw the show, was Domestic Girlfriend. I was like, I don't really know what it's about, but when you read the synopsis, like the fact that like this guy bangs this girl and then they become like step siblings or something like that, I was like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna give it a shot. I don't know how I feel about this now that I have watched it. I can't unsee it, but the pacing in that I think was like crazy. They were trying to pack in so much into like half a season, and you could tell they were really setting it up to just be like a big promo for the manga, because I guess the manga was doing really well. So not only was it a very weird story, but the pacing was all over the place, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, and there's some weird shit that's happening, and I'm like, I don't know if I but this is it's just wrong.
What about your car?
Yeah, like I said, I think Courtney's seen a lot more shows, so she's more knowledgeable. But for me, it was probably Attack on Titan, like the first one or two seasons. Like, I don't even remember what happened in those two seasons, just because I felt like every episode was just a lot of talking. And then you get to, like, I don't know, the final episodes of each season, and that's when all the action starts happening. That's where I was kind of questioning, like, is it worth investing my time into this show? And thankfully, like, it's paid off. But yeah, at those certain points, it's like you start questioning your existence.
It's like, why am I still here? Is this still worth it? Speaking of Attack on Titan, it does kind of feel like the structure of Attack on Titan kind of mirrored a lot of my favorite just American television type of shows, where it's just a slow burn just for a payoff at the last three or two episodes, which is fine, but it was just different for an anime. Usually you expect every episode to have this normal arc, and at the end of each episode, something like, okay, can't wait to see the next one, how this is going to be resolved.
Yeah, Attack on Titan has, like, a lot of it.
Just a little, it had a lot for me as well. And I like exposition as well. Oh, I guess like is a strong word, but I don't mind it, depending on how the show is set up and the world. Oh, and the world of Attack on Titan is interesting, I think. Now, let's go to Courtney next. Did you have another show that you were
I think this is one that probably might be on your list as well. Promised Neverland Season 2 is one that I'm so excited for. The show itself, like, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, it's kids, right? With, like, really big heads and small faces. And you, like, they don't tell you anything. And then in the first episode, like, a kid dies and there's, like, these creatures and stuff. I'm like, what is happening? This is not what I thought it was at all, but I'm hooked. Like, whatever's going on, I want to see more of it. And that's another show, like, where it's incredibly exposition heavy, because they're just in this house. Like, so much happens, but they never leave this house. They never leave this property. And it's, like, it's crazy how they can make such a captivating show with so much content with so little world building at the same time. I mean, I'm sure they're in season two, there's going to be tons more world building, but I think they did a great job of keeping things fresh and keeping things interesting while really not having a shitload going on.
Yeah, I had it on my list for those similar reasons, to be honest. And it was one of the series that I watched the anime first. And because usually I like to, if I see an anime, I like, well, let me see the manga. Let's see if I like that at first. But this anime from episode two, I mean, one was a good episode, but two really kicked it off. And I was like, yeah, I'm sticking with this. I'm here to the end. I don't care how this ends. I just need to know if these kids are going to be okay. and please, Emma, just Emma, just don't die on me. She's just too precious. Well, most of the people, Ray, Norman, and I'm forgetting the white, Norman. God, I want the, if I had kids, those are the kids I want. If I want kids. I had it on this because it's just, the first season blew me away. I think that's winter. That's early.
Yeah, I think
2021,
January,
right? That's somewhere, like, in January, I believe, right?
I need this show to happen soon.
I think it's honestly one of my one of the more recent animes. I think it's one of my favorite, like, I guess you could say thriller, mystery, kind of psychological type of shows. You know, it's a good way to put them. Yeah. Did you guys expect it? Like, just from the
and I know you should never judge a book by its cover, but I always assume when the main cast, like almost the entire cast, is children, I'm like, there's no way they can make it super heavy. But like, yeah, they weren't afraid to go there. I actually think it's really, really cool that you're following the story through the eyes of, like, very young children, because you know what to expect. Like, you know that adults have world experiences where they can come up with, you know, clever ways to get out of situations, or they can problem solve a little bit easier, but children don't. Like, they haven't had those types of experiences, understand, you know, certain basic skills. So they're just kind of winging it and learning as they go. So I thought that it was great to have it, have the main cast be children.
But I think what it kind of, to that point, what the show does well is, like, it makes you not discredit, like, how smart children really are. I remember, like, one of the later episodes, there was a really young kid that I don't remember exactly what happened, but they were trying to instruct him not to do something, or no. It was like
trying to remember the youngest myself, kid, actually.
But he was trying to help kind of keep the mother from knowing other things that were like all the little.
Should we not give any spoilers about this? I don't know if how spoiler heavy you guys usually are.
I was okay. Gonna say, usually I try to keep spoilers away.
He's one of the younger kids that I think you can tell early on in the show. It's not really a spoiler, but early on you can tell he kind of like he's too young to really get what's going on, but he's got that hunch. So I think that he's one of those kids who's able to like help progress things for the team or for the group just through his own intuition.
Yeah, so like the show reminds you, like, don't underestimate like how smart these kids really are. And going into season two, now that like they've got, again, not spoiling anything, but they're onto the next challenge, like where they're going to go now that the stakes are much higher. Because it's almost like, I don't know, because like at the same time, like they're kids, like you want that, like you said, you want them to all be happy, like live long lives, but you know.
Yeah, there's something about just having a cast of kids and just instantly bonding and connecting with them really super fast. And also having a thing kids where they're all kind of pretty smart for their own age. One of my favorite book series of all time is the Ender's Game series. I don't know if you guys ever read any of the Orson Scott Card books, but most of his books kind of center around young children being just smarter than most of their adult counterparts, their parents and all that stuff. It doesn't have that quite, The Promised Neverland doesn't have anything quite similar to that, but just the fact that we get to see their, like you said, Courtney, I think you said about their POV, and just you almost kind of feel like you're helpless with them. It's like, you know, you kind of feel just, you feel their fear, you feel their intrigue, you feel their confusion. Any bit of success, you just want to silently just shake your fist and just close your eyes and like, ah, yes, please.
Yeah.
We're alive another day. I'm so glad that's in January now. Because I didn't write that. I didn't have the date for that one. I just knew
it was
something.
I could be wrong, but I
think
that was
early.
One that was pushed back because of the pandemic. Yeah, so even longer
so
wait
well.
Than we had actually anticipated.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great.
Oh, Carl, did you have another show that you were really excited about for next year?
Yeah, I think most of my list is a lot of the, or like relates to a lot of like the Netflix originals. I know that one that has been talked about, you know, among my circle of friends and I think on the internet as well, as The Way of the House Husband.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I didn't have that on there, but it needs to be brought up. Tell me why you want to see that one so bad.
They released like an image of, I know I didn't read the manga, but I know it's like the premise is like a Yakuza crime boss, and he's just settling down with domestic bliss. And one show that we recently watched that we really loved was like Devil is a Part-Timer, and it sounds like this is something very similar, where you have this character that is acting in an unexpected way, because like I've never heard of a Yakuza crime boss, just settling down to basically be like a housewife, but just seeing kind of that almost like fish out of water sort of situation in this anime is something that I'd love to see, and hopefully it's as good as like I said, Devil is a Part-Timer.
I really hope it's a cult. I hope it becomes a cult classic, to be honest. Because I do read the manga. I think it's on Manga Plus, on my Manga Plus subscription. And it's hilarious. Every chapter is another laugh. Almost every other page is another laugh. I'm just seeing the dude in his frilly, colorful apron. With his, you know, him smoking a cigarette. He's got dark shaded glasses. Yeah, and then, you know, next thing he's feeding a child, you know, this milk or something like that. It's every bit of, it feels like every panel, every moment is carefully crafted to make you laugh, sympathize with him and everything. And it's another one of those off the walls kind of situations where you can kind of see it in real life. And that kind of adds to the humor factor. I should have had that on my list because that's one that I'm definitely going to be early on. Definitely going to have on my list, and definitely going to be watching with some friends at least, because that's another show that you just want to watch with someone as well, because yeah. It's just somehow funnier.
I honestly don't know anything about the show. Yeah. I saw the promo drop. I've seen the hype around the show, like on Instagram and on Reddit and stuff. And I'm going into it hype alone. Like, people are so excited for this show that I'm like, I feel like I just got to jump on the bandwagon and just go for the ride.
Look, and it's a quite a ride, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. I think it's been up for several manga Taisho awards. It hasn't won any, at least to my knowledge, but it's always in the running for some manga award every year. I think it's only been out for 3 or 4 years or whatever the case may be, but every single year since it's been out, it's always up for some award. And I hope it wins something, because it's, like I said, it's getting a adaptation. So I mean, some companies saw some merit in it, and they were like, you know, we need to get this adapted and fast. So I'm glad they're doing that one right off the bat. I did have another one that's somewhat comedy, but yeah, I guess, you know, it's comedy as well. And that's Cells at Work. I think they're doing the second season of Cells at Work, and then doing Cells at Work. They're adapting the as one of the spinoffs. I think it's Code Black. For people who are unfamiliar with Cells at Work, it's pretty much basically it. We're seeing in someone's body, and it centers around one red blood cell, and she's kind of new. She just became a red blood cell. She's learning the ropes of how to carry oxygen day to day, and she kind of meets this white blood cell. And she meets him pretty much the first time they meet, he's killing some germ. And the action in this show is so overdone, but in a good way. It's gory in a way. Like, all the white blood cells are dressed, well, in all white, and they're pale, got real big black doll eyes. And they're just they have feelings, but they just don't look like they do. And they're just slaughtering bacteria. There's blood everywhere. And they two meetings, like, and they just say hi. And the red blood cell says hi. And they just become friends, and they just somehow meet each other every chapter, every episode, in some other thing. And each episode kind of centers around an event in the body. Like, one time they have to deal with cold. Or one time they have to deal with, like, oh, he's having high blood sugar or something like that. It's really weird because it's so informative, especially the manga. Like, they'll just add tidbits of things about biology, and I'm just like, oh, I mean, that's cool. And I also read that the author apparently has a degree in human biology or something like that. So it's. So I'm like, okay, I guess I can trust this. You know, I guess, you know, I forgot most of my schooling anyway at this point, especially biology. Right, so this is the perfect thing to read and watch.
Like I'm really excited. Watched like clips of Cells at Work, and I would say like if this is how I learned like human anatomy and biology back in high school, because like you, I don't remember a lick of it. But I feel like if it were presented to me in this form, I would be much more engaged. But yeah, this was another one I didn't realize. I think David Production is working on it.
Yeah, David Production that does JoJo, which I think they just like knocked it out of the park with produced. So it's good to hear that it's the same with that show.
I was gonna say they don't miss, do they? Like they don't slip up in anything. David Production, MAPPA, Madhouse, some of the kit ones, just like those three production companies that just whatever they touch, it's anime gold, to be honest. Did you have another one though?
For me, I don't know if this is on anyone else's list, but I have Rising of Shield Hero season 2. This was the first season was an unexpected hit for me. I thought it was just going to be more isekai trash, but people kept talking about like Raftalia and she's like the best girl ever and how this show feels different because it kind of pokes fun at other isekai sometimes. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a chance. Cause I'm not really like super into the isekai genre, but I'll dabble in it. And I loved this show and I don't know why. Like one of my friends watches it as well. And he's like, I hate that I love it so much. I don't understand why it's so good, but it's so good. And I know that the way they ended this first season, it was pretty finite. Like we weren't sure if they were actually going to make another season or if they were preparing to just cancel it after that. But after a few months, after the finale of the last season, they finally announced not one, but two more seasons. And that was like the best news ever. So that's one that I'm really excited for. I don't think there's a specific time frame in 2021 for the second season, but it's supposed to be sometime next year.
Yeah, I think that was one of the shows that didn't have a concrete date or anything of that nature, I believe. So, isekais, it's not my cup of tea. Well, in this month, cup of water, really. I just can't. The only one I really liked was that time I got reincarnated as a slime. And I guess for kind of similar reasons that why you really dug. Shield Heroes, I think it does kind of play around with the ideas of the typical isekai, and
definitely.
I don't know, it doesn't take itself too seriously because so many of them now, and that's why I just can't get into the genre.
At least right now, like we're oversaturated with isekai, like it's really intense, like there are so many, and to me, like I think back to like when I first got into anime. And it's kind of weird to think of the show in this way, but one of, like, the first, at least for me, like, original isekai was Inuyasha. Because Kagome goes to, like, another world. She technically kind of gets isekai'd in that show. So, like, back then, isekais, I think, were, like, few and far between. And that was a really cool concept, like, being thrown into this brand new world and how do you overcome that? But now it's, like, every season of anime has at least, like, 5 or 6 different isekai. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, guys. This is a lot.
Hold on for a second.
Isn't that weird? Yasha, it's so weird. Like,
what the it was literally one of my first shows. It's literally my brother's probably one of his favorite shows of all time. It's an isekai. Whoa, my god, that is incredible. Now I'm sure the show that now I'm going to have to be going. I'm going to spend, like, I won't sleep. I'm not going to sleep tonight because I'm going to be thinking about all the good things Inuyasha does and why it's the perfect isekai now. And I'm going to have to write something about it. Like,
I don't know why I thought of that.
I'm sorry.
I think when I was, like, talking to somebody else about all the isekai that was coming out, and I'm like, we never had isekai back in our day. And then I stopped and I'm like, well, I think technically Inuyasha was one. So I was wrong in that sense.
Yeah. That's wild. And look, I love me some.
It was early 2000s.
I guess that was a 90s anime, right? Was that early 2000s? Early 2000s. Yeah. which was a sweet spot, really, in anime, now to think about it.
Amazing.
Yu Yu Hakusho, kind of bridging the gap right before that.
Bebop. Well, Bebop was a little bit older. Slam Dunk. Like, Bebop came out around that time.
Trigun.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop was around that time. Trigun. Oof, God. What? I still say it to this day, Trigun has one of the best openings, lyricless, I don't know what the right term, but it is one of the best openings with no sung lyrics ever. I'll never stray away from that opinion.
Like, you can't not, like, physically jam out to it when it comes on. Like, it takes over your body. It's so good.
Yeah, and the same, I want another Cowboy Bebop Trigun anime. I feel like people might downplay it, though, just because, you know, we've seen this before. Well, I want another one, right? Space Dandy, for me, was close. And trust me, Space Dandy's fun. It was pretty funny. I don't know if you guys watched any of Space Dandy. What was that, 2014-ish, whatever the case may be. And I thought it was okay. I thought it did some things. I thought some of it was over the top. That's just not my style when it was just over-sexualized just to be more funny. Same thing with that one show that came out this year. I don't know if you guys watched it. I'm sorry, this is another side, but what was it?
Ishiko,
Ishizoku, Reviewer, whatever.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm not into edgy anime, and I'm not into, like, I personally am not into hentai, so, like, that one's, like, pretty much as close to hentai as you can get in an anime, and I know about it, but I'm like, I'm probably never going to watch that.
I wanted to do, like, an winter, kind of, like, 2020 kind of impressions, and so I watched all the anime of that winter 2020, the first episodes of all the series coming out, and when I got to that, and I didn't know what the translated title was, so I was like, I was quite confused, and I watched the first episode, which was, it was 20, 18, 19 minutes, and felt like 40, and I'm sorry, I don't need to see animals with these curves and proportions, and then being reviewed with these by a human, an elf,
it's an angel.
And they, was it an angel? It doesn't even matter. Yeah, it was not my thing. And apparently before that anime even premiered, it was already hitting some controversy with its themes. So I heard the manga is off the wall as well, if not even a little worse.
When the anime premiered is that the streaming services that had the rights to it did not know that they were going to have actual, like, sex scenes in there. And I think I was reading something like they had no clue. And so when they premiered, like, the first episode or two, it wasn't until, like, they got some wind from, like, the community that they finally realized it and, like, took it down. So, like, they had, like pretty bad stuff on there that they probably normally would not have because they didn't bother to review the show before putting it out there.
Oh my God. I did hear, though, I did know that was happening with stream service. I did, because I know that a few Japanese networks just refused to not have it on. And then maybe a few episodes later, they would show, you know, a random episode, and then they would just take it off their network the next week or whatever the case may be. Last time I checked, I think it's only on, like, two. It will, I don't think it's not running anymore, but when it was running, I think it was only on, like, one or two Japanese networks, I believe. So, like, there was an audience that was like, yeah, not really sure if this is not something I want to watch on a weekly basis. So I'm glad I wasn't alone in that. And I'm glad you guys felt the same. I didn't see the appeal. It wasn't that funny either. So I don't even know how we got there. How we even got to goddamn. I'm sorry. I tend to do this, so I'm sorry.
No, I love this kind of, like, we love talking about anime, even if we stray a little bit into interspecies reviewer. That's cool. That's cool with us.
I was like, I never thought I would ever talk about it again. That was the thing, you know, and now I feel dirty. Now,
you take a shower.
Yeah.
To, like, wash my hands of it a little bit. Yeah, I do. I mean, you got 20 minutes. I will wash my hands of it a little bit because I didn't have any major shows left on my list, but I had a few shows that I thought were interesting to bring up. And that was Eden Zero. And this is going to be animated by JC Staff. And even for people who are unfamiliar with Eden Zero, I think I did a whole episode on it as well. But it's the manga being added to an animation done by the infamous Hiro Mashima, who done Fairy Tail, Rave Master, and some other smaller works. But he's back. He's back, baby. And he's going to... That's another anime that we can all sit down and watch. And hopefully... And to me, I think it's better than Fairy Tail. I don't know how you guys feel about Fairy Tail.
If you guys really...
Did you guys vibe with Fairy Tail?
But I never tapped into it.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I think it's your typical shonen type of fluff. I think it has its highs and it has its lows. Probably a little bit more lows than highs, especially as it got closer to its ending. But with Eden Zero, I think there's no date. I know they just said, I think that's a spring anime. I think it's one of the earliest spring animes for 2021. And it's a manga that I've been pretty interested in because Hiro Mashima loves his shonen stuff with a little bit of, I wouldn't say etchy because it's not etchy, but he does draw his characters and does his characters with some extra oomph to it. So, and with the Eden Zero, which is about, it's more sci-fi and more mystery. Obviously the characters look similar to some of the Fairy Tail kind of characters, which is fine and all, but I think the manga is actually a lot better than Fairy Tail. So I'm actually really excited to see this animated, and I really hope people kind of check it out, because it really explores the idea of family, adopted family, much better than it does in Fairy Tail. I think Fairy Tail did it they told me without showing it. I was like, I'm more of a show me, don't tell me kind of guy in a lot of media. And I think Eden Zero does a really good job of showing of just because you aren't born with a blood family, that you can find friends and people who really have the same interests and just vibe with them. I think it's a really sweet type of manga, and I really hope people kind of dig it when it comes out next year. I didn't know if you guys had any other smaller type of shows that you were kind of maybe within earshot of, you know, like maybe kind of
I don't have
checking
like
out
a
for next year
show, but I have something that's like a reboot, and you may have, I think, touched on this in a recent episode of yours, but Shaman King, I'm like, I can't wait. And here's the kicker. I watched it when I was a kid. I do not remember anything about it, but I just remember loving it. I was like, I just need to re-experience it because I just remember like being obsessed with the show, and I don't know why.
I don't remember jack shit about the anime. When I did that episode, I was like, I had to like find, I have a few... off to my right here, I have some manga volumes right here, and I have some of the Shaman King volumes, and I was going through them. I was going through, because they have spinoff series, like three or two spinoff series of Shaman King. I was looking through that. I was trying to find where I could read that legally. And I was like, wow, when did this happen? I think we're getting that in the springtime as well, right? For next year? Yeah. Oh my God, I cannot wait for Shaman. I'm glad you brought Shaman King.
I wish I could say more about it. I just like, God, I get these feelings, everything about Shaman King. Like, I get this like, excitement. I'm like, I wish I could remember why, but hey, this is a perfect opportunity to dive back into it. And hopefully this reboot does a good job.
I really hope so too, because it was one of those 90s shows as well that I guess didn't get some of the praise as it did. I mean, it's still of a cult classic. People recognize the name, I hope, and kind of recognize some of the characters. You know, it didn't get as much as love as maybe as Yu Yu Hakusho or as the Narutos in the world or the One Pieces, but I thought there was something really aesthetically different with Shaman King. And at the time as a kid, I was like, I don't know what I was watching. But it just looked different. Like, the dude, Yo, I think it was Yo Asakura, I think is the main character. Like, that dude doesn't look like Goku. Doesn't look like Luffy. He sure as hell doesn't look like Naruto. I like him. I like him a lot. And And I'm really excited because I think it's going to be finishing the manga as well.
Okay.
No, I think the manga might be done. I believe. I don't know if they have maybe another spin-off going off, but I think the anime will be finishing the original manga.
I think it was canceled. Like, they didn't actually finish the show, if I remember correctly. Yes.
Yeah, 4Kids TV.
I think
so, because 4Kids had that, right? Did 4Kids handle that? God, nah. Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it. Woo. Like, speaking of, you know, roll your windows down, top off, blasting some music. I mean, who wasn't blasting the One Piece 4Kids rap theme? I mean, for the people listening, I'm not gonna go through it word for word because I do know the whole song, but. That rap was amazing, and it was one of the few things why I even got into One Piece at the time, was that 4Kids dub, which was not great, but it was funny. It was funny. But yeah, I didn't have that on my list at all. I don't know about Carl. Did you have any other ones?
Yeah, I just have that were kind of somewhat interested in. I was more looking at some of the stuff that Netflix has been storing in their quiver. One which stuck out to me, I watched the trailer, is High Rise Invasion.
I don't know much at all about the manga series.
Where it looks like it's, I don't know if it's Battle Royale or it's just kill or be killed. But this girl just gets thrown. Again, I don't know if this is an isekai at all, but this high school girl gets thrown into this space where everything is just skyscrapers and suspension bridges, and I guess the goal is to like kill these people or try to kill you, and these people have masks on. But yeah, I think this is probably more of like the blood and guts anime, which I like to delve into occasionally, as gory as it may be. But just the concept of it just sounded interesting.
I'm listening.
I think this one is coming out February, so yeah.
So not too. That's,
so and the only other thing, wait, I don't too long. This would qualify as anime. There's a show, Raze. If I'm pronouncing that right, it's based on a Filipino horror crime comic, but I guess it's being adapted into an anime. And I myself am of Filipino descent, so.
Wow, interesting.
Something that I'm looking very much forward to. I don't think they've had a release date on it, but it feels like this is more going into the realm of like how Crunchyroll had its originals, like Tower of God, where it was adapting like a Korean webtoon,
I was gonna say,
yeah, it's definitely. Crazy.
What's the name of that? Well, I want to get that right. One down.
T R E S E. Or trees, maybe.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely gonna check that out. That wasn't even on my radar.
Adaptation of a story outside of Japan, but they're gonna put it in the anime format. So, and I think this goes along the lines of seeing more of things like God of High School or Tower of God, seeing more of those other stories being adapted into this format.
What do you guys? I mean, have you guys watched some of those
Tower of God
Crunchyroll originals? By the way,
and I don't know if there's any others that I've seen, but I really didn't know what to expect with like a webtoon adaptation. But I thought Tower of God was really good. I wouldn't say I loved it, more so like the plot itself. Like that is a show that's like a ton of exposition, and I'm like, it's kind of dragging the beginning, but the end, not to spoil anything, but the end, like, okay, now I'm hooked. Like after what happened, I'm like, yeah, I need to see more of this.
Because I've been really, I think I've talked a little bit about the Netflix kind of adaptations. And I'm really excited about the Crunchyroll ones. I talked about it briefly on an episode before about Noblesse. I'm not sure. I guess that's how you say it. Which is another adaptation of a webtoon. I love webtoons. Low no fact about me. I love webtoons. I've been reading God of High School since 2014 when it came out. And when I heard that there was going to be an animation for it, I did backflips for a few hours. But the anime, I don't know if you, I wouldn't suggest it. You know, I'm a fanboy for God of High School, but I would not suggest that anime unless you love really cool fight scenes, super slick choreography, some good music, and because it's done by MAPPA, and you know, like they don't miss. But the plot is it's razor thin, and not in a good way. It's barely there, to be honest, and you could just tell they're just stretching it. To get to the next fight, like, oh, please, come on, let's just get to the next fight. Let's get these guys doing something more, a little more interesting than talking. And for Tower of God, I liked it. I'm not sure if I liked it as much as of others. I remember I tried reading the webtoon a few years back, and I just couldn't get into it. Eventually, I'm gonna try to get caught up, and I'm definitely gonna watch the second season of Tower of God, which has been.
I think so.
Well, that's been secure. That's a thing, right? We're getting the second season. Like I feel like I've heard it getting a second season, but when I was looking for some shows for next year that I was really excited about, I was like, it wasn't on the list. But like, I feel like someone said something. Like, I don't know if it was like my cousin of another cousin of a uncle of something in another family.
I think
state
I hope it will, because that kind of clipping, I'm like, I would feel like it'd be a crime not to give us more.
Yeah. Exactly. And then No Blast, I think, was the other third big webtoon that was getting adapted, which I haven't seen any of, so I don't really know how people are receiving it right now. But that's one of the webtoons that's actually ended, I believe. So God of High School is still going on. Tower of God is still going on. I call it the One Piece of Korean webtoons, because it just has no end in sight at this point. Yeah, it's going on and it's on and it's on. It's almost unrecognizable of the first kind of when we see Bam. You know, he's kind of just yeah. And it's, but you know, I don't want to get into that. But there was another one that I thought was that because as like I'm giving 2021 the year of blockbuster anime, but it's also the year of anime revivals. We talked about Shaman King, but there was another show that I kind of liked when I was a little bit younger, and that was Hetalia. Hetalia is coming back for some reason in April of next year, and our favorite anime about countries, European countries personified, well, world countries, I think, well, not European, but countries around the world personified as very handsome and attractive young man is back. Hetalia World Stars, I think it's called, being done by Studio Dean. We're getting that next April. I'm not sure. I feel like I just have this morbid curiosity to see what they're gonna do about this, because I think it's one of those early. I think it's another. It's kind of like I think we were talking about off air about JoJo being really meme worthy. And now it's just one huge meme, which is still good. People out there who haven't touched JoJo and you've seen memes, watch it, read it, please, do whatever you need to do. But Hetalia has been one of those kind of early 2010s kind of memed shows with reaction pictures and jokes to other countries around the world and things like that. Have you guys seen any of Hetalia before?
I haven't, but I have seen the memes, and like we cosplay and we go to a lot of anime conventions, and I remember the memes and the cosplays that came out of that show. And it's crazy that you say 2010s and that it's getting revived, because for some reason I feel like it came out like a year ago. It feels so recent, and to hear it's already getting like some sort of revival makes me feel like how much time is actually passed.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like I know this happens in American media. You know, once we get to that decade point, when something's about a decade old, you're like, I think it's time to reboot, or at least that's what they think, right? So Hetalia's getting there, and when I saw, I was like, man, what a 2010 anime is gonna be coming back? I was like, Darker Than Black, something, you know, like I was kind of run through the list in my head, like what else could come back? If Shaman King can come back. The possibilities, it has to be endless, right? Because who would have thought Shaman King would have came back? I'm not sure if I had any other like fringe type of show that I was had any little bit of curiosity in, to be honest. There was a lot of just fluff. I saw the Bungo Stray Dog was having another season. I don't know if it's, I think it kind of looks like a comedy, kind of like gag rendition, kind of like what Naruto did with Naruto, was it Naruto SD with the lead kind of thing? They were like chibi characters. And they kind of just did silly things, kind of like, and that's what kind of that looks like. But other than that, oh, you know what? There was one movie. There was a movie that's, I think, early January. I think it's January 8th, January 9th, or whatever the case may be. But Toei Animation and Studio Dean are working together for a new Sailor Moon Eternal movie, part one. Because they said the part one, so I was like, oh, we're going to get a second one somewhere down the line. But I was like, Sailor Moon 2021, I'm in it, and I'm going to love it. I don't care what it's about. Doesn't matter if I haven't seen Sailor Moon in God's know
forever.
I saw
that
forever.
Too, and I was so surprised. I was like, I'm definitely watching my anime list, the website, and I'm like, Sailor Moon? I was like, are you serious? Like, I feel like it was pretty recent when we just had the, I don't know if it was a reboot or like the newest series Sailor Moon.
Oh, was it Sailor Moon Crystal? I'm into this. Or something like that? I can't think of something like that. Oh, I'm sorry. The second part is, so we get in the first part in January and then the second part in literally the next month in February. So I don't care what it's about, but I'm definitely going to check it out. If Crunchyroll hopefully nabs it or something, Funimation maybe, I don't know. I don't care. I need to watch it. I need to see my pretty girl transformations, you know? And I like how you guys kind of buried the lead on me. How dare you guys do that to me? Because how dare you guys bring up cosplay and not expect me to be suddenly interested? Because I've had maybe one other cosplayer on the show before, and I want to know. I need to know.
So okay, I'll give you this one.
What have
been
some of your favorite cosplays over the years?
For 18 years. And cosplay back when we were like really young, and like we had like Chibi Moon, we had Sailor Moon, we had Sailor Venus, we had Sailor Jupiter, and then I was Sailor Mars. And like back then, I mean, cosplay that cosplay and anime conventions in general back then were like so small, like really niche communities. But even then, Sailor Moon was so big back then, like people recognized us, they want to take pictures of us, and like Sailor Moon has just been a staple of anime for so long. But yeah, it's just funny how we were talking about that, and that just so happened to be my very first cosplay.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Not
that's
as
great.
Long
Wait,
as Courtney
and then, Nicole, you cosplayed as well, right?
I started like in 2011. My first one, I remember, it was actually Ghost from Call of Duty. It was a very uncomfortable outfit to wear. What have I done recently? I've done Spike from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that classic gateway anime. And then last year I was actually Joseph Joestar from JoJo. Yeah, it was a winter convention. So I wore and the little like pilot.
So that scarf,
I guess.
Perfect.
Nice and warm. So
yeah, and speaking of JoJo, our obviously anime conventions in general have all been canceled this year. So I've been working with my sister on my next cosplay, which is Lisa Lisa from JoJo Part 2. So I'm like, it's her battle outfit from when she fights cars. So I'm like, I'm really excited for that one. And I've been waiting over a year now to finally wear it. So I'm hoping
we can
have safe and healthy conventions next year that I'll be able to wear it there.
I pray just for Lisa Lisa alone. I hope you're able to do that. And shame on you, Carl, for not doing cross-dressing. Joestar cosplay. Shame. Okay, all right. Well, as long as it's on the list, I'm fine. I didn't have another show that I was really kind of somewhat intrigued in or really hyped for left on my list. But I wanted to bring you guys to another side, as if we've done numerous times already, so I'm sorry. But I try to do this with all my guests, just trying to get a gauge on, because I like to keep ages a secret. And I like to guess people how they're, and I've been doing some detective work while listening to you guys. I'm an active thinker. It doesn't sound like it, but I'm an active thinker. And it seems like your first anime has got to be somewhere early 90s. Can I just ask,
what was the first experience I knew what anime was?
With anime.
Ooh, I would, honestly, I'd have to say Pokemon first.
Yeah, like yes.
Original season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is wild to think about, you know, right? Like, it's so many, and even now to this day, you know, kids who are watching Pokemon, turn it on, either playing the games, playing the TCG or VGC, has no interest in anime, but are loving Pokemon. It's crazy what Pokemon has done. Just for anime and for people, and just kind of pushing them in that gate, really showing the gate of anime. And if they want to
say the same thing,
you
know, I think it was Pokemon that got me started.
But Carl,
and funny enough, I know in like the interest in the trading cards. I know Logic, who there was a rapper Logic had like the Charizard card that he.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but like you said, I hope
I forgot all about that.
Delve even deeper into the world of anime, because there's so many now that you can watch, not just with this upcoming season, but just in general.
I was gonna say, did you want to do a little promo for for Netflix anime coming to you in 2021? But for me, I always go back and forth, because I don't know. I just know it was either. Because I wasn't really a big fan of Pokemon. And it wasn't really on, what was that network? Oh my God, it wasn't 4Kids, but it was like, was it on Fox? Fox Kids.
I know that, so it was 4Kids TV, and then you had
Cartoon Network, and I swear Fox had like their own little kid thing. I didn't really watch too much of that, but I do remember it. Usually I always say, when people ask me, I'm like, I guess it's Dragon Ball Z, that or Saint Seiya, one of the two. I had this uncle. He wasn't a creepy uncle, but he was an uncle, and he had this tape. He was giving away a lot of his stuff. I don't know if he was moving or doing whatever he was doing, but he gave me this thing. He's like, you should watch this. You like cartoons, right? I was like, yeah. So he gave it to me, and I popped it in, and it was Saint Seiya. And I was like, what is this? And so for people who don't know what Saint Seiya is, I think it was in the mid 80s kind of show. It was really popular in Latin American countries. But it's pretty much like Sailor Moon, but with boys. So they transform with these coats of armor. Had like a really like loud 80s rocking theme. And I was like, what is this? This isn't anything what I've ever seen before. And that was my first experience. And then I guess it was around that same time where like they were showing Dragon Ball Z on like reruns. I think my first experience with Dragon Ball Z was like the Cell Saga or something like that. I think they were showing episodes from the Cell Saga. So I started from like the Cell Saga and then to the Blue arc. And then I had to like go back because I didn't know Frieza was a thing. and then I found out that GT was a thing. I wish it wasn't a thing. And then what was it? Then Dragon Ball Super, which was what, 2016? Oh my God, it's been 4 years since Dragon Ball Super came out, I think, and that's not good either, really. I mean, it has its moments, and it's just not that great. So, as much as I love Dragon Ball Z, but God, they have had a lot of highs and lows.
It's amazing.
But,
it's another.
But hey, I guess
anime,
Dragon Ball Z. Like, how can you?
I'm a big Gohan fan, so yeah, I love it. Okay, good. I'll avoid it then.
Oh, then you would not like Super then. Oh my god, you would hate it. You would hate it. Like, I mean, you know, Gohan was kind of the studious type. They took that and just ran with it. He stopped training. I mean, maybe you like that Gohan. I don't know. But when I saw Gohan, I kind of wanted him like to take the torch from Goku, which I thought they were going to do with the Cell Saga, but at least with the and the Boo Saga as well. But they kind of just turned him into a family man, which is okay. You know, him and Videl, OTP, I love it. But he got like skinny. He wore tracksuits all the time in Super. He wore glasses, even though he didn't need glasses. And
he just wasn't a big fan of fighting. Like you said, like, he really needed to take the pain. Like, that was what it seemed like it was going to be set up for.
Yes. Like, it's one of the most mind blowing things in anime for me. Like, you know what? I don't know. Maybe people just like, you know, I don't know. Maybe they saw some data or whatever. Like, or yeah, they were like, you know what? Goku's still more popular. Let's just run with Goku or whatever the case may be. But I don't know. I didn't think we'd get to Dragon Ball. I'm talking about anime in 2021, but somehow, I guess on Week Guys, it just some stuff like this just happens. But before, I've held you guys for too long. Held you guys hostage for too long. So
yeah, keep us hydrated. So yeah,
but don't worry, I'm feeding them guys. You guys listening? Don't worry, I'm keeping them well. Yeah, I kind of like with hamsters and I just drips of water. Don't worry there. It's all good. But I always like to give some time for you guys to, you guys already talked about it a little bit with the Strictly series. But if you'd like to tell the listeners where they can find you on social media and about your projects, that'd be great. Not only for them, but for me as well, because I'm
definitely
already
thank
a fan.
You for that. And so our podcast network,
but if you'd like to do that,
Strictly
I definitely
have. Yeah, we have Strictly Anime, which is a podcast all about anime reviews and discussions. And little side note, the reason it's called Strictly Anime, as we kind of hinted at a little bit earlier, is because, again, we don't read manga, we don't read light novels, we don't read webtoons, we strictly watch anime. So that's kind of the lens that we take when we talk about each of the shows. And then we have Strictly JoJo, which will be premiering at the end of November. And that's, again, a podcast dedicated to JoJo, where we review every single episode of the show. And we always say in our podcast that our podcasts are by casuals for casuals, because we're not professional reviewers, we're not industry experts, we're not elitists, we're just casual weebs talking casually about anime. And that's, we really just want it to be fun, as if like we're doing right now, just talking about the things that we love in the anime community. But yeah, both our podcast, Strictly Anime and Strictly JoJo, are on all major podcast streaming services, including Apple, Spotify, and Google. And then we're also on Instagram at The Strictly Series, on Twitter at Strictly Series, and then our website is thestrictlyseries.com.
Yes, God, that was professional. Even you guys hear that? It's so professional, I guess, sounded. You know, see, my listeners aren't used to that at all. So I know this is a shot of freshness right now. They're like, please, where can I find more of these people? Where can I get more Courtney and Carl? It's like as much as I like, you know, Chris and Cedar, but he rambles too much. But thank you. Yeah. And when I say thank you, I really mean it. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, because I thought this was fun as I'll get out. It really was. I will say, as I slide this secretly, a little slip of paper to the both of you guys, and inside it's just a little invitation for you guys to come back if you wish. You know, no pressure, but if you guys like to come back and maybe do a little bit more something JoJo related, because I would really love to do that. I haven't gotten to JoJo at all. I really have, as much as I love it, I haven't gotten to talk about it too much on this podcast at all. So, and if I wanted to talk about JoJo, I definitely want to talk with the pros here. at least the JoJo's enthusiasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are all about that. I mean, just incredible. Side note about me, JoJo is my all-time favorite anime show. So if you want to talk about JoJo, I could probably talk about JoJo all day long.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We would love that. And thank you for having us on as well. I mean, this has been equally fun. For us as well, and I think that you're an awesome person to talk to about anime. We vibe really, really well, and we would love to come back.
Yeah, if I could slip this in, really, like, I've enjoyed my time talking with UC though, but I want to just give major props to you for your November challenge of just drinking water, because like that's rough. That must be rough, but major props to you for that.
Man, look, it's this is the third year, and it gets harder each and every year. It doesn't get easier. I don't understand why. Like, it's, I do it like, every November and December. And this year is just harder than it was last year. I say harder, but I guess a little bit easier because I've been, stuck in the house for, like a lot of people for many months. So leading up to it, I'm like, you know what? Why just... you're not going to many places during the day. Just drink water. You have it there with you. Just drink it. Shed all that soda and coffee. Because, look, little no effect with me. I love me some coffee, all right? I can't. I just need it. I need it. Every time I record, I got to get me some coffee.
No, you've definitely water, inspired me to possibly take
thank
on
you.
This challenge.
Yes, we need to make it the norm for November to just flush our systems with some water.
Rather than the other.
Maybe a more positive November challenge. rather than the other one, you know what I'm saying? Look, it all starts with one, It all starts with one. But thank you. Thank you for everybody listening to this episode of Weebcast, the more anime show
no.
Internet. Well, after meeting you guys, it's kind of number three now. But... I really do. No. I've already been knocked down. And someone already took the second. You guys got the first. But I'm okay with that because I love you guys, actually. So thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed Courtney and Kyle. I almost lost track of my thought. But if you want to hear more and you like what you've heard today, please support me on Patreon. Patreon.com/WeebcastShow. Follow on my social media, Based Senpai on Twitter, and at Weebcast TV on Instagram. It's been nice talking to you. Courtney Carr, would you like to say goodbye? See ya.